It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog.
Okay, welcome to the podcast, everyone. I'm really excited today. I have a new guest, and her name is Mykelia. I don't know your last name.
Cole Thoreau.
Cole Thoreau.
Yeah.
Okay. And I met you like just 5 seconds ago, basically.
Yeah. I've been following you on Instagram for a couple weeks now, so that's how I heard about you.
Yeah. So I basically put in my story, I'm looking for new topic ideas, if anyone has anything. And you responded to my story and you said spiritual bypassing.
Yep, just two words.
And I don't really know much about it. And so I replied back and said, why don't you come on the podcast and we can talk about it?
Okay, yeah. Well, hopefully that's not the only thing we talk about.
No.
And I'm not really, I just have 25 years of experience of like living life.
Yes.
I don't have anything like specific to spiritual bypassing, but it has been coming up a lot in my life. So
really?
I thought that was the first thing that came to mind when I saw your post.
So yeah.
I'm glad it landed.
I did Google it.
Okay. I'm curious what the official definition is.
Yeah, excuse me. I was just telling you before, like, don't clear your throat in the microphone. I just did it. That's funny. Okay, so I did Google it, Wikipedia it, and I'll pull up what I found it to be, if I can use my phone possibly. Nope, that's not it. Okay, I don't actually have the definition. I found an example of it. So the example I will share with you is, so an example of a spiritual bypassing expression is, anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And this person says a good way to reframe that is to say, if that anger already exists within you in a legitimate response to bullying, as an example, and abuse, it's not poison, or is it a waste of energy to feel it? It's a signal. Listen to what it's saying. Hold space for it. It wants you to protect yourself, to stand up for yourself, to cut ties with abusers, to bring justice into the world, and to be outraged enough to build a better life for yourself. If this is like a really blurry quote, by the way, I'm trying to read it. It's there for you to process, express, and add on to your healing, not hinder it. So repressing your anger wastes more energy than addressing it. Repressing your anger is the poison because it leads to added resentment and deterioration of well-being. And I stole that from Self-Care Warrior. Does that like resonate with what you've kind of been feeling lately in terms of that?
Yeah, I think so. I like that you used an example to kind of define it because mm-hmm. I think it could be different for everyone.
Yeah.
I had never heard of the term until I took my first teacher training at what was Sage Yoga in Boise.
Cool.
Yeah, before they closed their doors. That was a really cool experience, and it taught me a lot of stuff about your like self-development, myself, kind of a new way of looking at things and unraveling like the why behind a lot of what I do and other stuff about yoga and movement and mindfulness. But it came up as a topic in the teacher training because I think it's something that if you're not super self-aware, you can fall into it really easily by mm-hmm. using little catchphrases to explain things or doing the easy thing first before thinking and then kind of coming back to the hard part after you've gone through the easiness over and over and over again.
I know in yoga, we can kind of, like commonly used phrases you mentioned are good vibes only, positive mindset only, love and light, raise your vibrations, I don't see color, all lives matter, you create mm-hmm. your reality. Focus on the positive. I don't have an ego. Thoughts and prayers, or this is all part of God's plan. I had someone on last week, and she said people wanted to comfort her when she was experiencing grief and loss, and they didn't know how to comfort her. So they would just say, this is all part of God's plan. And she just felt like that was really insensitive and not acknowledging her feelings.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a sense of spiritual bypassing as well.
Yeah, you're trying to do the right thing, but it's maybe not, it's the easy version and not the, like, really sit down and think.
Yeah.
And try something new.
What are these feelings? Recently, and anyone listening to this, like, don't take this personal, but a couple teachers at my studio will say things in yoga class like smile. And
I've said that.
I think teachers have a good intention when they say it, but sometimes for me, I'm having like a bad day. I'm dealing with some stuff and I'm going to yoga to process. And so when I hear smile, I'm just kind of like, no, don't tell me how to feel, even though it's not their intention at all.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
As far as smiling in class, I'm going to have to think about that because I've said that before. Uh-huh. As like, I feel like when I'm teaching, I try to make it more of a workshop style. So I'm always asking questions and like, I want people to laugh. It's like, I feel good when other people are having a good time. But if you're there and you don't want to smile and someone tells you to smile, then I would be kind of averse to that. Like, oh, I don't feel like smiling. And then the whole experience becomes about, well, I don't want to smile. And then it's sort of shining a light on.
It's just interesting for me because then it gives me things to think about. It's like, well, why am I having this thought and this feeling? And let me think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did you get into yoga?
I found it through my mom. She was the first person I took a class with at the downtown YMCA.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm like a Idaho native. I've been here my whole life. And she's really into yoga. And so going to class with her was a way for us to spend time where she didn't have to be my mom. Like, we just got to do stuff and be friends, and that was it. And so I thought of it as like a class that you go to and that's it. And then through my own kind of health journey, I've been a personal trainer for probably 6 or 8 years now.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so I was going about things one way, very like hardened and like exercise and build muscle, count calories, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I had to really blow open that way of thinking because I ran my body down. So I was experiencing a lot of chronic pain.
Wow.
Just really a lot of discomfort within my own body. And when that happens, you have to stop. You know, you don't get to ignore it for very long. And so coming to a grinding halt after running full speed through life for a long time was really hard. And so I was looking for ways to get back to movement and get back to feeling better. I remember going to an acupuncturist and she was like, if you only feel 1% better tomorrow, she said she would have felt like she was winning. And so, yeah, if I had just felt a little bit better, that's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, yoga was like 10% or 20% better. And so it was a really life-changing experience to like all the cheesy stuff, like rediscover yourself. And
I love the cheesy stuff.
Yeah, I think I'll keep coming back to this probably my whole life. But I think I love when people realize that yoga can be more than they ever expected it to be.
When were you surprised by that? When did that like click for you? Was it when your body was running down because you felt like you were pushing too hard? Is that when it started to ease in, or was it before that?
I came to a complete stop. I didn't do anything for a while. And then yoga was like this word. I was like, oh, I should know more about it. And my very like entrepreneurial spirit was like, if I can teach yoga, I can make money off of it. And then I can also heal myself at the same time. So I was trying to cut corners like every step of the way. So I think, I don't know, the first time, maybe the most potent time was a day after class. I think we had done like a yoga nidra, and so you go into this sleep state where you're still kind of awake, and then coming out of that, and we left the studio, and I was walking down the streets of Boise, and I just had this totally almost psychedelic experience where I just felt like I was part of the scenery, kind of. And so to me, the yoga had like really infiltrated my spirit and kind of like taken down the pain and the suffering and like amplified the bliss state. And so I just wanted to hold on to that as long as I could.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that spiritual bypassing has been coming up for you a little bit. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, I guess. of course. So I guess a good example, I should probably do one for myself because I don't want to call people out. But I think it's coming about a lot because I've just become a mother. And so.
Oh, my gosh. How old is your little one?
She's 2 months, give or take.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. A brand new little baby.
She's awesome. Yeah. And so I'm having a lot of moments where I feel like a baby, like I'm kind of losing my childhood and entering into this new stage of being a mother and then more of a woman or more of a wife, all these new roles. And I think like I would define spiritual bypassing as, maybe acting as if, but not actually doing the work or, like talking and talking and talking and then not doing all the other stuff it takes, like sitting still and being quiet or like asking for feedback or being really raw and honest, but without words, like more with actions. And so I have a lot of, I don't know, time to really like, you know, through the eyes of a newborn, through the eyes of a fresh human mm-hmm. and like a really helpless human, what does it appear like to her? Me, my actions, what do they do for her? Yeah, and so it's nice and then also very scary because I'm very critical, so it's easy to,
oh boy,
like overdo that a little bit. But then also coming back to my goal is to support her, and I want more of those moments of like with my mom being just like there with her and not mm-hmm. having her feel like she has to control things and tell me not to do stuff and just sitting and like
being present.
Being, yeah, with each
it
other.
It doesn't have to be anything in particular. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
What's your daughter's name?
Hazel.
Hazel. Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. How is yoga impacting you in this new stage?
It's great. I think I'm really grateful I have it, I guess, to rely on. I think a lot of the tools that yoga gives you, it creates space. Like you can kind of define where you want to be at a particular time. Like this is a space where, you know, I allow good things to happen and I wait, you know, I set aside the negativity or I set aside the things that I don't want here in this space. I use it when I can't be with her in the best version of myself. Like I'm really stressed or I'm screaming and I just need to walk away for a second. I use the yogi breaths then to slow down. But I also think I'm starting to use it more like with her, like kind of showing her things. Like she's so little she can't. I don't know if she's my experience is different than her experience, I
right.
would say.
But she's picking up on the vibes.
I hope so, yeah. Oh, I would think sure. so. But just like encouraging certain things that she's already doing, I would say.
What is she into these days? I mean, she's so young. What can she be into? I don't know much.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
No, I don't. I have two dogs. Those are my babies.
It's kind of similar.
It's not even close, but that's sweet of you to try to be nice.
kids are their own ball of wax, but she's changing every day. Like I picked her up this morning and I swear she was an inch longer than when I put her to bed last night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She's trying to sit up on her own. She's like more comfortable in her own skin. I can tell that she'll just stretch and it's like, oh good, she feels good. That's nice to see.
That's something I adore about babies, young children, and even like the special, the mentally developed, special needs folks who are maybe emotionally or mentally developmental delayed. They seem really connected to their authentic selves, if I'm saying that correctly, where you know what they're feeling all the time. So like a baby, if they're upset, you're going to see it. If they're happy, you're going to see it. They're not dulling their emotions and controlling them so much like adults have to in order to behave properly in society, but then you as a parent are relied upon to help them cope with all their feelings, and that seems like quite an undertaking.
Yep. Yeah. We have friends who just found out they're pregnant, and they were kind of marveling when they first met her. She was maybe 3 weeks old. The husband, he was saying, wow, you know, she can't talk, she can't do a whole lot, but gosh, like the stimulus, you know, it must be like, you know, one of the few times you experience DMT in your brain is like when you die, when you deep REM sleep, or maybe when you're born, or shortly after. And I think maybe that's true. I have no way of knowing. But I also think as a parent going through sleep deprivation, as a mother, what our bodies go through, that must be its own kind of like.
It seems really sci-fi to me and really psychedelic, like your friend suggested.
Yeah.
Do babies have DMT released when they're born? Is that a thing?
I might have just said that not knowing, but I've heard that.
I feel like I've heard it with when you die too.
Double check.
Let's Google. Do you have DMT in your brain when you die? Oh my gosh. I don't know. I can't even use my phone right now. Google says, it doesn't know. I think I have to read a whole article to get there. The DMT is called the Spirit Molecule, or that's the name of the book, actually. That's written by someone about it. It also says that you can activate your third eye and your pineal gland, which is stimulated by DMT, by doing activities like yoga and meditation, which I feel like is true. Sometimes I feel like when I'm meditating, I go to a really trippy place, like yoga nidra. I felt like was very, it becomes overwhelming for me, and I get really anxious because I start to feel like I'm losing touch with my body and I'm going into this ethereal state. And so yoga is so interesting for me because I feel like it helps me get into my body again. But then the meditation, I feel like I'm leaving my body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or like you really need your body as an anchor. And what else could you use as an anchor?
What do you mean?
Like if the fear comes from leaving your body and when you come back in, you feel calmer. To me, that's like you need maybe the earth element to ground you.
Uh-huh. I'm super earthy. Earth. That makes more sense.
So what, like, I don't know, other tools, techniques, tricks you could use in meditation to stay anchored, but then safely leave your body?
Oh, I don't know. Do you guide people through meditation?
Yeah, I do.
What do you say to them?
I would set the scene a little bit, like bringing their attention maybe to their body and then their mat. And then if we're using something to meditate on, like for example a crystal, you can just stare at that, or a candle with a flame, so you keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. You're still practicing the breathing and you're trying to turn your focus to one singular point, but it's not like out in the ether somewhere. It's still within a space.
How do you feel when you do yoga nidra though, because that's where you're going into I want to say it's like an altered consciousness, because your body's asleep, but your mind is in a different state.
Mm-hmm. So in yoga nidra, I like that feeling. And I don't always get it, so I'm kind of searching for it a lot of the time, I think. But then it's hard because then I want to fall asleep. So I guess I use I use mantras. I use like a phrase. And so if I'm either not there yet or feel like I'm going to drift into sleep, like riding that fine line, then I'll use a phrase, or I'll like even just touch, fingertips touching or something along those lines.
When you fall asleep at night, you say that you're meditating when you fall asleep. Is that what you were saying?
Like No. In a class, in a yoga nidra class, I have a tendency to fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
And so I have to work really hard to stay in the restful state, but not too restful.
That's interesting. So the first time I ever did yoga nidra, I knew the person who was guiding it, and he said he did it as like a practice session with us before he attempted to do it with the general public, because he had just gone through this training and he wanted to practice with fellow yoga teacher friends. And so we're like doing this for fun, like in the back room at the yoga studio with other teachers. And instantly, I didn't feel like I was going to fall asleep, but I felt like I was going into that altered consciousness I was just talking about, where my body felt like it was paralyzed because it had fallen asleep. But then I'm still playing in the realm of consciousness. Mm. And so I started to have, like at first I was like, this is really interesting, this is really cool and really meditative. And then I had a sense of like doubt, like, who is this guy? What is he? Why is he doing this to me? What if he plants a seed that I don't want him to plant? And then I had to process like that sense of fear that I was feeling. And the whole intention of that particular session was we would come up with our own affirmation or mantra that we wanted to select. So he was just the space holder, really. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I'm still working on, is that fear of being in that other state. I don't know. It's weird for me because you say you fall asleep and I go instantly into that other state and I don't like it. It scares me.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little jealous. I wish I could do it instantly.
No, it's so scary. I wish it was harder to get to. We talked about this earlier in an earlier episode. My friend Tom came on and we had done a cold plunge. Have you done that before?
Yeah.
And you just meditate.
To get through it.
Oh my gosh. That was the most intense meditation. It's not like it took me 10, 20 minutes to get to that state. It's like I was there in a minute, because I had to be, because the water was so cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. How long have you been meditating?
I'm a really bad yogi. I'm a bad meditator. Like I said, I kind of still have some fear circling that, but I always like to meditate like before or after a yoga session. So after my yoga session, I'll go into like a 5-minute meditation. I've been challenged to do a morning meditation when I wake up, and I've done that a handful of times. But for me, maybe that is better that I do a morning meditation, actually, because I actually want to fall asleep. I'm like, it's too early. I need coffee. It's too early to meditate. I feel like I need to meditate in the middle of the day. But I like the sense of relaxation. If I have anxiety, I'll go into a meditation, which typically I have anxiety when I'm driving, so it's a little awkward. I know.
Open eye meditation, not closing your eyes.
I usually just like talk to myself and take deep breaths. And I'm like, you're okay. It's okay. It's okay. The exit's coming up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you teach yoga?
I have my own practice in Eagle. It's called Unify Mind Body. And it's a small space, so I do mostly private consultations.
Unify Mind Body?
Mm-hmm.
Where in Eagle?
It's off of Old State Street Road, so near the Crunch building. They're cool. Doing a lot of construction there.
That's awesome. How long have you been there?
About a year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What do you love about what you do there?
Well, I love sharing yoga, and I always like redefining it. I think yoga, just like other words, can come with preconceived notions, and so it's always fun to get a newbie, because then you can kind of blow their mind. Like,
do you offer public classes at all, or mostly just privates?
Mostly privates, yeah. I teach out of my house some classes, but the space is not big enough to do much more. And there's so many great studios nearby, I'd hate to step on any toes.
There's room for all. There really is.
Okay.
So if somebody wanted to find you, how would they find you?
You can find me on basically social media, Facebook or Instagram, Unify Mind Body, and then our website, www.unifymindbody.com. Yeah, people can find me just by walking by too if you're in Eagle.
I also have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Lots of cool stuff. The coolest thing I overheard was that my body has unlimited potential to heal. And I love that because I always thought, God, it's broken. So it's nice to know that even if it doesn't feel like it right now, my body knows what healthy feels like, looks like, and it wants to get back to that.
Where did you hear that? How did you hear that in yoga?
I heard that kind of as a little blip in a class. One of the teachers said something about, you know, your body knows what healthy is for you personally, and it's always trying to get back to that.
I love that.
I'm butchering the quote, but it was really powerful.
Will you say it again for me one more time? Say it again.
My body knows what healthy feels like and knows what healthy looks like and is always trying to get back to that. So you have unlimited potential for healing.
Unlimited potential for healing. That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on my little podcast. That was like quick. It was over before we know it. So again, if people want to find you, it's Unify Mind Body on Instagram or your website. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you. This has been great.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!